Good morning, everyone. We have been again going through the book of Galatians, and the last time we looked at this book, this letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, we came to know the blessings that we have as believers, that believers are sons of Abraham, and believers are blessed with Abraham. And that blessing is that we are justified by our faith. We have believed in Jesus Christ, and therefore we have been justified. I think about the times that I used to spend at home, and it was during the months of February and March, as the night hits my hometown, what I would see in the distance, in the hills that I can see, is that a red line will start appearing in the months of February and March. Jhum cultivation has started. And the local farmers, they have gathered, and then they were clearing the forest, burning the forest, so that they can plant new crops in that very area. If the trees are not burned and the land not cleared, there is no chance for new crops to grow. In a similar way, if our heart are not cleared of every human effort, every effort of our own, then the seed of the gospel cannot take root and it cannot flourish. Human efforts must be burned to the ground, and only then can the gospel of justification by faith take root and flourish. Today, what the text brings to us is it burns any reliance upon human efforts by showing us the hopelessness of human effort. Shall we all turn to Galatians chapter 3 from verse 10 to 12. Galatians chapter 3 verse 10 to 12 reads, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith, rather he who does them shall live by them." The theme of this passage is again, no hope of justification through human effort. And we see that clearly in verse 10, where it says that as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. And we also see a direct statement in verse 11, where it says, "Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident." And therefore, no hope of justification through human effort comes forth very clearly in the verses that we'll be dealing with today. We'll go through two points. The first one is in verse 10. Anyone under the law is under a curse. And the second one is from verse 11 and 12. No justification under the law is clearly understood. These are the two points that brings out the truth that there is no hope of justification through human effort. Please look with me as we consider the first point in verse 10. Verse 10 reads, "For as many as are of the works of the law." Paul begins here again by explaining and then giving a contrasting explanation to what preceded before. Before, he had said that everyone who is of faith is blessed with Abraham. But now he brings something which is in contrast to that. He brings a different group of people when he says, as many as are of the works of the law. Previously, what was the group? It was the group of faith. And now he brings forth another group, which is a different group, of the works of the law. If you will read that passage very carefully, then you will see that it begins by saying, as many as. It is inclusive of everyone who is of the works of the law. It's not talking about one or two or 100 people, but as many as are of the works of the law. That is the description that Paul gives about this group that he brings forth to our attention now. And who are those people? It is those who do the deeds of the law so as to be justified. That's what it means when it says in verse 10, as many as are of the works of the law. That's what it means. Those who do the deeds, I'm saying this again, those who do the deeds of the law so as to be justified. This is the group that Paul is talking about here. The word again is in the plural. When you look at that word works, it is in the plural, which shows that it's not only the keeping of one law that we have in the law of Moses, but all of it. It is a multitude of it. It is plural works, not singular work. How can we think about this group of people in the present scenario? Who will these people be today? I speak to certain people. They are my close known people. And they are non-believers. And what they would say with me as the gospel is shared with them is that they are people who believe in humanity. What they are trying to say is, if I do good to people, if I live a good life, then I have a good relationship with God. My future after my death is secure because I believe in humanity. But Christianity is more than humanity. There is also another group of people who are part of the Christian world. They depend on the obedience to the commandments of God as their way to be justified before God. They come to church and they try to do all the good things that the law of God commands, and they try to gain their justification because of those things. They say if they obey the commandments of God, then they are good Christians and they will go to heaven. This is what they say. And this is the group of people that Paul refers to, and that can be applied today. And what are those group of people in verse 10? It says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. Paul describes the state of this group of people. What does it mean when it says under the law? It is to be beneath something. It is to be crushed under the weight of something. It is to be unable to free oneself from something. Just imagine this with me. I am beneath this pulpit. I am under this pulpit. And the weight of the pulpit is over me. That's the idea that Paul is bringing forth. I'm not able to free myself from this weight because this is too heavy for me. And that's the very sense that Paul brings out when it says that as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. They are not able to free themselves. And the weight of the curse is killing them. What is this curse that Paul is talking about here? What does it mean to be under a curse? It is to be under the condemnation of God. To be cursed is to be brought under the wrath of God. It is to be condemned by God. Instead of God's favor, it is to be destined, they are to be destined to harm from God. This word curse is in contrast with the word blessing. Blessing means favor from God. And curse is something which is opposite to that. It is to be condemned by God. And now Paul moves forward and then shows us two ways by which Paul shows that anyone under the curse, under the law, sorry, anyone under the law is under a curse. Two ways that he shows us that truth. The first way is found in the first part of Scripture in verse 10 of Galatians chapter 3. The Scriptures declare, or it teaches, this truth. That's the first thing. Where do I get that from? It is in verse 10 when Paul says, for, he's giving a reason, for it is written. And therefore he points back to Scripture. What is the basis of Paul's statement that anyone under the law is under a curse? What is the basis? The basis of Paul's statement is Scripture itself. And we see that being done by Paul again and again. If you look with me in verse 6, what does he use there? He uses Scripture when he says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Even in verse 8, the last of verse 8, it says, all the nations will be blessed in you. That is also from Scripture. And you will see that in verse 11. You will see that in verse 13. What is the basis of everything that Paul says? It is Scripture. And therefore, it is strong. It cannot be shaken because he bases his statements on Scripture. And that's the first point. The Scripture declares, or the Scripture teaches it, that anyone under the law is under a curse. I'll give you a little bit of information here. If you look at the tense of this verse, then you will see that it is in the perfect tense, which means that it is not simply talking about a past event, but it is the results that comes through that past event. Zurich puts it in this way. The perfect tense is used for indicating not the past action as such, but the present state of affairs resulting from the past action. What was done in the past? Scripture was written in the past. But what is the emphasis, or what is the point of Paul as he uses Scripture? It is that it has effects in the present. Paul emphasized the results of Scripture that was written in the past. Paul is using Scripture. How do we do? What do we do? What do we use when we speak with other people about the gospel? Are we using Scripture? If we are using Scripture and talking about justification by faith, and that there is no hope for anyone who is under the law, or anyone who is trying to win the favor of God by his or her own efforts, if we use Scripture even as Paul used Scripture, then our words will have a strong foundation. Use Scripture. That's the first thing. No hope for justification is not baseless. It is based on the solid rock of Scripture. No hope of justification by human efforts. That is based on Scripture. Let's go to the second one. First is the scripture declares it, and the second is the law demands perfect obedience. What does the scripture talk about? How does it prove and show us that anyone who is under the law is under a curse? Let's look into that. The scripture is, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them. Paul quotes this from Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. Shall we all turn to that passage? Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. Allow me to give you a quick review of what is happening in this book. The commandments of God begins from chapter 5, and it continues till chapter 26, right before this statement is given. Towards the end, Moses says, you should keep all his commandments in chapter 26, verse 18, and in chapter 27, verse 1. And then he begins with the curses and finally end with what is quoted in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. And let's turn now our attention to Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26, which reads, cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Please notice the encompassing nature or language of Scripture. Even in Deuteronomy it says, cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And even in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them. That's the encompassing nature of this verse. The verse also says that we are to abide. Anyone under the law is to abide. And if he does not abide, he is cursed. What is that word, abide? The word abide means to continue. It is to remain. It is to persevere. To abide is to continue in a state. And here the state is a state of obedience. You are to continue in obedience. And if you don't do that, then cursed are you. That's what the text is teaching. If you look with me in that very text, then you will see that the law demands perfect obedience. It demands perfect obedience. The requirement is to continue obeying all the things written in the law and to do that continually, abide continually. Everyone, all the things written in the law. The law demands perfect obedience. Even James chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's the demand of the law. It demands perfect obedience. Let's do a self-evaluation of ourselves. You are in an exam now. The instructions are, if you do not score 100 out of 100, you have failed. The test is not a one-time test, but a lifetime test. So test yourself against these questions. Do you honor your father and mother? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Do you love God and nobody else? Do you have God alone and nobody else? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7. Do you have any idol besides God? Deuteronomy chapter 5 again. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 17. Do you murder? And before you think that I do not murder, let me remind you of the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be guilty before the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be guilty before the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Examine yourselves before this truth. It also says in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 18, you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, to lust after someone is to commit adultery in the heart. Have you committed adultery in the heart? Have you stolen? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 19. Have you borne false witness against your neighbor? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 20. Have you coveted your neighbor's belongings? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21. And all of this is part of Paul's statement in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26, when he says that you have to keep the words of the law. All of this comes in. So in this test that we just did you pass or did you fail? There is no poor performance. There is no poor performance. It's either 0 or 100. It's a yes or a no situation. Have you kept all of those requirements of the law, or have you not? What Paul presupposes, as he says in verse 10 of chapter 3 of Galatians, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them. What he presupposes is that nobody has kept the law. And if you are honest with yourself today and has reflected, then you would see that you have failed the test. And Scripture backs that up. Romans 3, verse 9 reads, what then? Are we better? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. And then he goes on to Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under in the law, so that every mouth may be shut and all the world may be held accountable to God. Then it says in Romans 3, 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all failed the test as we reflected on the law of God. Is there any hope? By your effort? And if you have failed the test, then there is a consequence. What is the consequence? The consequence is that the failed person is under a curse. We come back to that same very verse. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them. The consequence is cursed. So if you have concluded, as you have examined yourself today, that you have failed the test, then you are under a curse if you are not in Jesus Christ. The order is this, and I believe it will help us to review what we have just covered. The order is this: the law demands perfect obedience. None is able to obey the law perfectly, for all are under sin. And the consequence of not being able to perfectly obey the law is that the person is cursed. Therefore, as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. And we come back to Paul's statement in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. There is no hope of justification by your effort. Let's move forward. The first one is, how do we see this coming forth in the passages? The first is that anyone under the law is under a curse. And the second truth that brings that out in verse 11 and 12 is, no justification under the law is clearly understood. Please look with me in verse 11 of Galatians chapter 3. It reads, now, Paul begins to make a transition here. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. It says no one. Think about the most righteous person that you can think of. Think about maybe the judge of the Indian Supreme Court. Think about the Nobel Prize-winning person. Think about the pastors and the evangelists of the church. No one is justified by the law before God is evident. Israel, the country of Israel, has an award named as Righteous Among the Nations, which is the highest civilian state award in Israel given to non-Jews who risk their lives to help Jews during the Holocaust. Not even that group of people who risk their lives to save the lives of others will be justified before the law, because the text says no one. How noble can a person be? That person too cannot be justified. Besides Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel. In the realm of the law, nobody can be justified. The text in verse 10 reads, 11 reads, now that no one is justified by the law before God, it is in the presence of God that we will be judged. God is the lawgiver and he will be the judge. And when he judges people, he sees that nobody can be justified in the law. That's the verdict of God. When he looks at the law that he has given and looks at us, he sees that no one is justified. Nobody is justified before the presence of God. It's not before the presence of men. Even though men may say that you are justified looking at your good works, God will say that you cannot be justified by the law, by your human efforts. And that truth is evident. In other words, it is clearly understood. The word evident means to be clear about something. It is to be obvious. It is not to be confused. It is to be crystal clear. This truth that there is no justification under the law, by the law, is evident. There is no confusion about this. Because Scripture clearly teaches this truth. As evident as is the fact that the fence in DCC has three hands or arms, so is the truth that no one is justified by the law before God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a man to be justified in the law. I'm not quoting Jesus Christ, but this is what it is saying. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a man to be justified by being under the law. And how does Paul prove this? He brings forth two truths which give the one reason as to why it is clearly understood that there is no justification under the law. Two truths. The first one is that the righteous shall live by faith. And we see that in the second part of verse 11. Please look with me in verse 11 of Galatians 3. It reads, "For the righteous shall live by faith." This has been the theme of the book of Galatians the whole time, that the righteous shall live by faith. This is the reason, the ultimate reason as to why it is clearly understood that no one will be justified before God in the law. And where does Paul again get this from? The righteous shall live by faith. He quotes this from Habakkuk chapter 2 and then verse 4. Shall we all turn to that passage? Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. The context of this verse in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, is that of wickedness and impending death in the hands of a cruel nation. Habakkuk cries out to God as he looks at the wickedness around him. And God uses a way. He tells him about the way in which he will judge these people. He will bring the Chaldeans, the wicked and cruel Chaldeans, and he will judge them. To which Habakkuk cries out, "How can you judge a more righteous person, more righteous people, by a more wicked people?" And that's when this verse comes in. The righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. The judgment of God is coming, but the righteous shall live by faith. There will be no judgment for those who are righteous by faith. So God reminds Habakkuk of this one truth, that he must live by faith. This verse is again quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Again, we'll move to this verse, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The context again is that of suffering and then persevering through that suffering. And then it says in chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Let me also read the verse 37. "For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Christ is coming back. But if anyone shrinks back from believing in the gospel and in Christ, then God has no pleasure in him. But the righteous shall live by faith. Paul closely connects this verse, "the righteous shall live by faith," to justification. And therefore, to live is to be justified. It is to have eternal life. remaining in us. It is very closely connected to a curse as well. And therefore, to live is to not have the curse upon us anymore. Not to be under a curse anymore. And all of that comes by faith. The means is faith. And not our human efforts. The righteous will live not by being in the law, but by means of faith. That's the way a person is justified. And how does the law perform as it evaluates itself against this, that the righteous shall live by faith? How does the law perform? In verse 12 it says, however, the law is not of faith. Rather, he who does them shall live by them. And therefore, we move now from the first point to the second one. It is that the law is fulfilled by works. The righteous shall live by faith, but the law is not of faith. Paul brings a contrast as he says, however, that words brings a contrast of the law with faith. The law is not based on faith, as the NET Bible translates it, when it says that the law is not based on faith. But what is the law based on? It is based on obedience. It is based on works. And therefore, Paul says in the last part of verse 12, rather, he who does them shall live by them. This is also another quotation from Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5, which reads, so you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does them, he shall live by them. I am Yahweh. On the one hand, it says the righteous shall live by faith. On the other hand, with regard to the law, it says anyone who keeps the law will live by them. There seems to be a way in the law, and if I may put it in these words, it is an impossible way. There is a way, but it is an impossible way. And help me, or hear me out as I bring this through this. Imagine this with me. Somebody wants to go to the moon and comes to a person and then ask him, what shall I do? Faith says, board the rocket of Christ and let it take you to the moon. He goes to the other person and then asks, the law says, build a tower and work your way up to the moon. The second one is impossible. The first one is possible in Christ. Christ can take you to the moon. You cannot build your way up to the moon. The perfect righteousness that God seeks can only be fulfilled in Christ, not through the law. Again, I say this. It is hopeless to seek for justification through human efforts. That's the one thing that this text is preaching. The hopelessness of human efforts. The text has clearly taught us the hopelessness of human efforts. No one is justified by their efforts. You, by your efforts, by your deeds, however righteous they are, will not be justified before God. You cannot save yourself. Therefore, that's when the gospel comes in. That's when Christ and his redeeming work comes in. I began with the story of how I was able to see the fire when the night comes. The light of the fire that was not visible during the day became visible at night. It is a given fact that light shines brightest in the darkest night. In the darkest darkness of the hopelessness of human efforts, the Word of God brings hope through the redeeming work of Christ. When we look at our own hopelessness through our human efforts, that's when the gospel shines the brightest. When we are at the feet of Jesus Christ, that's when our hopelessness through our human efforts turns to hope. And therefore, Paul is very quick as he writes these three verses, he is very quick to come back to the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And allow me to read these two verses, which we'll deal with in the next Sunday. So please come and be part of this glorious truth about Christ. In verse 13, it reads, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Everything comes together. The one who believes is blessed. The one who tries to gain the favor of God and justification through the law is under a curse. Christ has redeemed us. If you have not believed in Christ, then believe, for there is hope for you. And for us, those of us who have believed in Jesus Christ and have received justification, keep believing till the end of your life. And with these words, let's look to God in prayer. Our gracious Father, who have looked at us in our hopelessness, hopeless to gain our own way to you, hopeless by our own human efforts, you have looked at us and have been graceful to send your Son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. And his work alone, the person of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross alone, saves us. He loved us, you loved us, and therefore we can be right before you. We can be justified before God. So, Father, if there is any reliance of our human efforts, I pray that you would destroy and crush and burn all of that, so that the truth of the gospel will take root and flourish in those who do not believe, and even in us who have believed in Jesus Christ. And do that for your own glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Receive the benediction. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of God's Holy Spirit rest and abide with each of you. Amen.